Hey Potters, welcome to episode 86 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Hopefully you guys are having a fantastic week. We know that conventions are definitely approaching faster than we would like if you're a cosplayer and frantically working on cosplay.
But it's springtime. It's convention time.
It is. It has been gorgeous weather outside. I know a lot of our local friends have been happy that they can be productive when it comes to having to do things that involve ventilation outdoors.
I can actually spray paint. This is awesome.
Yes. And it's actually not freezing inside either, so that you have dexterity when it comes to sewing, which is a very important thing when you don't want to stab yourself.
Very important. I still manage to stab myself anyway with either needles or pins, so I'm just used to it now.
All right.
What does it say about me? That just sounds terrible out of context, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes, it does.
I'm not a drug junkie, I promise. I can't even take ibuprofen well, so there you go.
All right, so we have upcoming cosplay updates. What do you got?
So I can't really talk about the costume because it's kind of quote-unquote secret. I don't know if it's appropriate for me to say that, but I've been making a lot of stars. There are just stars everywhere. Like, I've been making stars and more stars and more stars and, oh, hey, wait, hang on, there's more stars. I got another one. Hang on, there's another star. And I'm making more stars out of Warbla. I've got stars out the butt. So for those who have been to my Facebook page and wondering what the blue thing I'm working on, no, it is nothing related to Frozen. They're all stars. I promise. You still haven't seen the movie. So yeah, it's just...
makes me think, farting rainbows.
That's exactly what I was trying to go for. It's a unicorn farting rainbows. So yeah, it's just been a lot of that this weekend. I've got a ton of applique work I need to get done, but it's going to be a really pretty dress that'll be nice to wear because I don't have a whole lot of pretty dresses. So I was like, I just want something cute and pretty. There you go. That's my update. I've just been doing a lot of tracing and appliques and yeah, fun stuff. As Amber is destroying her house.
I actually can't really speak about much of this publicly anymore for reasons, let's put it that way. So all I will say is that my only two cosplay updates at this point, one is that I am canceling my panels for Project Akon, which is unfortunate, and I know a lot of you guys were looking forward to seeing my panels, and I was looking forward to doing them, but given recent events in my life, I feel like as a panelist who prefers to do very good quality panels, I'm not going to have the time over the next couple of months to genuinely prep those for you guys to the standard that I set for myself. And so I would rather wait and do those next year than to give you guys crappy panels this year, because I'd rather keep that standard high, both for Akon and for myself. So, it is unfortunate, but I still plan to film the material, and then you guys will see it over the podcast, over coming months. The second cosplay update that I have is that I'm going to start prepping and repairing some of my older costumes because, again, due to life events that are out of my control for the most part, it doesn't look like I'll be able to finish new cosplays for Akon. I had Pyrrha on my list, two of her costumes. Cosmos is technically done. I can wear her as long as I'm not carrying filming equipment. Unfortunately, it's looking like we're going to be carrying filming equipment. So I can't necessarily wear Cosmos. And Sierra / Presea from Ray Earth, again, it doesn't look like I'm going to have the time to finish any of these for Akon. So hopefully once these issues work themselves out that are going on and, my stress levels come down just a bit, that I can start working on these newer cosplays that I've been aching to work on. Just right now, adult life is taking higher priority, and these are things that I really need to be paying attention to. So, when I have time and I'm not frantically studying for an IT exam that's coming up in 2 weeks, that I will start sprucing up some of my old cosplays. So for Akon, I will probably bring Umi Ryuzaki, another Magic Knight Rayearth thing. I'll probably bring back Lena Inverse because she hasn't been worn in a while, and I'll probably bring Yue because he also hasn't been worn in a while. I'm running out of costumes that are actually in decent enough condition to fit me and to wear them. And of course, they all have massive armor and props. Go figure.
Go figure. So, that's your thing, though.
Yes. So it's not so much that I'm tearing up my house as that I am trying to prepare to move again.
Yeah.
And that, for those who have had to move themselves, especially when you're a cosplayer, it's an involved process. So, yay! Those are pretty much my only cosplay updates at this point. You know, I have wanted to bring some of my supplies to work to work on, but sometimes it would be a little awkward to explain to the security guard why you're bringing in a duct tape dummy of yourself to work with you. And your boss might ask some questions, too.
No, this is totally fine. This is normal. It's all good. It's all good.
There's only so much I can do, and actually, work has been a lot more busy for me recently to where I haven't really had free time to work on anything, not even studying. So cosplay's kind of out. And I feel really bad, you guys. I feel like I haven't really worked on much that is new and awesome in the world of cosplay in the last several months, and that's really getting me down. It doesn't look like it, but seriously, it's depressing me, and I don't like it. But the universe is conspiring against me.
Life stuff first. Once the life things start calming down, then you can get back into the cosplaying, and then you'll be happy camper again.
And at least in happy news, I found out that I make more than I thought I did in terms of my checkbook. So I can actually, realistically, I can afford cosplay a lot better now with this new job.
Isn't that nice?
It is nice. I haven't really taken advantage of that yet.
I haven't either.
I didn't actually realize that I make enough and I have enough cushion that I can actually start spending on cosplay again. But it's nice to know that it's there. Especially with all these new things that keep coming out like Transparent Warbler.
Yeah, right? I'm just really surprised that looking at my bank account, I'm like, huh, I've already paid off for my Acon and my DragonCon trip. This is strange. Everything else is going to go in straight into savings. What's going on? I don't understand this.
Pretty much.
Nice. It's nice. It's really nice.
And speaking of cons...
Yay! This will be a good transition. Happy news.
Yes. Yes. AllCon has announced their 2016 dates, which I will pull those up right now for you real quick.
Feel free to do so.
And I believe we may have mentioned this last episode, but they are both moving hotels and they are moving weekends next year. So it will be all new. So next year's dates are March 17th through 20th, 2016, and they will actually be at the Westin Hotel, which is near the Galleria in Dallas.
No, it's not.
So they will
Wrong
be
one.
On the other... Oh, is it not? Okay.
The one you're thinking of is that's not the right one.
I'm trying to pull up the address. It's taking me a second.
I think it's listed like Central Park, Dallas, or Central Dallas. I don't remember what it is, but it's not the one near the Galleria.
Okay, well, it's in Dallas somewhere because it's not on their website yet. Because I'm looking at their website. So, you know, we will wait and see at least as far as where this is going to be here. I know it has to be up here. There.
Yeah, I know exactly where it's located. It's off of 75 and 635 because I drive by it every day for work.
Over by the Galleria.
No, it's not. The Galleria is off the tollway.
What the heck do I drive past then?
That's still like a good 4 or 5 mile difference between the two.
See, as much as I drive lately, 4 and 5 miles is not much.
That's true, yeah. I average about 50 miles a day now. Now, there is a Westin at the Galleria, but that's completely... That's not
the
one.
I know it's not that Westin.
Okay.
No. So basically, they'll be on the other side of Dallas next year. And the good news that we wanted to share with you guys, now that we can make it public, is that we did so well with your help and with your feedback this past year that they've actually asked us to become the sponsor for the Friday Costume Contest for the near future. So,
yay! Applause! I queued that one up on time. Yay!
I figured. So we wanted to say thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody that helped us out and to everybody who gave feedback to AllCon And most of all, thank you to everyone who signed up. If we hadn't had such a good turnout, we wouldn't be doing this again next year. So we were shocked and very pleased at how well it went, and hopefully it goes even better next year. So you guys will see us again, running the cosplay contest on Friday again next year at AllCon. It will be bigger, better, you know, longer, uncut, all that good stuff. Yes, I did that for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Let's see. Yeah, Todd was very, very impressed with us. He is the basically the grand emperor of all things AllCon. And the last day there, he swore that we'd come back next year. So it's pretty much a sealed deal. Nothing needs to be signed. The pinky. The pinky is the important part. So it'll it'll be exciting. It's going to be a lot of work, though, man. It's going to be so much work.
It'll be C3 is what I'm lovingly calling it, because it is the CosPod cosplay contest. Not C4. We're not going to blow anything up. It's C3.
But it's so fun blowing stuff up.
So keep an eye on their website and ours. We will provide updates as we have them. Obviously, still kind of decompress as far as staff goes from the con. So they're not going to start this back up anytime relatively soon.
Oh, yeah. We got
a couple months off.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out. We will give you guys the info as we have it. Hopefully there will be even more prizes next year that are awesome. We have gotten feedback on what you guys prefer to have as prizes. Hopefully there will be more competitors. We may or may not add additional categories. And we will also, of course, bring back all of your favorite judges, and we'll have helpers, MC, and all that good stuff. You'll mostly see us kind of behind the scenes running around, just like we did, like chickens with our heads cut off.
Cut off. Yeah, that's essentially what it was. Aren't you glad that you did not dress up in a costume?
Oh, no. I would have been okay dressing up in a costume, as long as it didn't have a cape. Because I was, you know, jumping up, literally jumping up and jumping off the stage quite a bit since I was having to go behind the projector. Oh, and we will also have, you know, equally awesome music this year and an equally awesome halftime show. So we will start working on these things as we get closer to next year.
Post AllCon, please. Let's just wait until this. Yes, there's too much crap going on now.
Definitely that. So yay, we're so excited. Yay. We really are. I mean, we
are.
Don't look it mostly because we're already looking ahead to other things. But you know, when we originally heard that we were being asked to do it again, like we had a little squee moment.
Squee.
It was cute.
It's just a really long year already, and it's like, okay, no, we've got too much to worry about. That can be pushed off to a little bit later. We've got plenty of time to work on this.
Indeed, and now that we have that experience under our belts, it makes us a little bit more marketable as cosplay guests.
Hint, hint, wink, wink.
I mean, we're not pushing ourselves because we're narcissistic people. We're not. We are teachers, we are educators, we are promoters of the cosplay art, and we really enjoy sharing that enthusiasm with other people. And, you know, we may not be of the certain types of guests that are currently on the circuit right now, but it would be neat if we could change that and bring cosplay back around to the sort of, you know, shared hobby that we all enjoy. And you know, teach people that not only can everybody do this, but here is how everybody can do it. So if you guys know of a convention that is looking for cosplay guests, we are very flexible, we are available, we provide our own press services, and we provide marketing services should you need that on social media. We are cheap, we don't ask for very much. You know, we are very experienced panelists in a very wide variety of disciplines. We can teach pretty much anything between the two of us. And you do get us as a pair, unless you would like either of us individually. But generally, we travel as a pair. And, of course, we can judge cosplay contests. We can run cosplay contests. We can do pre-judging. We can pretty much do everything at this point on all sides of a cosplay contest. I mean, heck, we can even order prizes now. We cover every aspect of cosplay contests.
Yep.
So if you know anybody who's looking for guests, you can always just have them send us a quick email, podcast@costpod.org, and we respond very quickly.
See, now all I have in my head is the Weird Al UHF song, because you said that we can do it all. It's like, you can have it all on UHF. Thanks, Amber.
Yes, you can. Video killed the radio star. Anyways.
Damn right.
So, moving on to cosplay in the news.
Yep.
We need a sound effect for this. We need
I'll come up with one.
NPR's background for all things considered.
Well, there's only 12 sound effects on Google. None of them are really fair. That's about the best as you're going to get right now. It's that or crickets, your choice.
All right. So, in our Facebook feed and pretty much everywhere else in the news lately, there's been a lot of talk about body type in cosplay, by which we mean people of different body types being involved in cosplay. Did you want to go ahead and give a little intro for this one, since a lot of these are your finds?
Well, I guess I could and I guess I couldn't. It's kind of weird because what you – okay, I say that because what you brought up to me was something that I was not even fully aware of with Sweet for Sweet. So I was like, oh, I didn't know that spawned all of it, because what I saw on my feed was actually something that got reposted on Reddit from somebody from the North Texas cosplay community who he just made a really simple image, was just a black and white bunch of people in different costumes, and they all, one of them had like Wonder Woman's logo, one had the Green Lantern logo, and it just says cosplays for all bodies. And that really just started spreading and then circling around the internet, and there were a couple of articles written about it, and so that's basically where it started. And I didn't know how Sweet for Sweet came into this, but I'm not surprised, because she is a larger woman who probably gets hassled a lot for it.
She is plus size. Basically, the background on that, without getting too much into depth about it, is that, you know, she has a very, very good Miss Piggy costume. And that was reposted on a site. I want to say it was one of the Chan sites.
Oh, God.
And it was in a fat-shaming thread, basically. There were a couple of positive comments, and I will give them credit for that. But for the most part, if you read these, it was fat-shaming, and it was making fun of her for being Miss Piggy, even though it's a great costume. I mean, she put a
lot
of
detail. She does really good work.
And it looks good. It looks really good in photos. So that said, you know, it really kind of spawned a conversation on a lot of, you know, our fellow cosplayers' social media that we do follow about this whole perception of who should be allowed to cosplay what. It's almost as though there are rules, like a sort of bro code for cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
An unspoken set of rules that apparently some people don't follow because we don't know about them.
Well, again, you know what would be... a good example of this is the saber tooth that we saw at AllCon. Now, having met this person before, I know what his body type is like. He wouldn't be able to put on that suit normally if he didn't have all that extra muscle padding involved. And he did a fantastic job with it. So is he in the wrong for wearing that costume? Or is he trying to modify? I mean, like, it seems weird to me that we should even have a discussion about body type when it seems that most of the hate is coming from outside of the community. It's the people who just don't get it and don't understand that, hey, it's just like Halloween. Do you really care who dresses up as what on Halloween? Why pick it us on us for the rest of the year when we want to dress up however we want to dress up?
And I know that there are some people who do not agree with this, who feel you know, part of portraying cosplay characters is absolute accuracy, not accuracy relatively. You know, getting the right trim, getting the right colors, getting the right wig. It's accuracy as in you look exactly like that character as they are portrayed in their media.
Mm-hmm.
In the manga, in the anime show, on the television show, in the movie. So however they draw it, you must look exactly like that, or it's wrong. And it's a different point of view. I can't really bash on those people because, you know, I will admit publicly that for me that brings the character more to life realistically based on that portrayal in their media. Now, that does not mean that I do not fully support other people cosplaying that character. It's just a different way of looking at it. And, you know, one of the examples that I wanted to give of this was there was recently a feature on DeviantArt for Big Hero 6. You know, the Disney Pixar type movie that just recently came out that's a sort of stop motion animation 3D film. And the cosplayers that they featured in this, you know, promoted article on DeviantArt, I have never seen anything more realistic in my life. Like, literally, I have never seen anything more realistic in my life. It looked like these characters stepped off the movie screen in these photos that they did. And part of the reason for that is because they looked just like the animated characters in Big Hero 6. Anybody can cosplay those characters, and I fully support them. But it wouldn't also have that same impact on me, I think, as these cosplayers did. It was just like...
Yeah, I know exactly which ones you're talking about. They've also done a series for How to Train Your Dragon where they look... It's ridiculously spot on how much one of them looks like Hiccup. It's like, holy crap, you cannot be a real human being. And every time I look at those photos, I keep thinking they're photoshopped. But it's like, no, he just puts on the makeup. And it's like, seriously, it has to be photoshopped. How is it not photoshopped?
So it's one of those things where psychologically we really do base some of our perception on how these characters are initially portrayed. It's something that's ingrained in us, I think. Now I'm going to say that there are a lot of people who find anything other than that wrong, saying that people with different skin colors cannot portray X character, and they will bash on that person for doing it. Guys, we're missing the whole point. This is cosplay, costume play. We are playing. This is a hobby. We're supposed to have fun, you know, play, fun. That's kind of the point. We are showing our love for these characters, if I can wax eloquent for a moment, by dressing up as them and by becoming them. We're fans. And we're enjoying this with other fans. So you're bashing on them for doing it wrong when in fact they're actually doing it very right. That's kind of the point of the hobby, at least in my eyes. Because this is one of the highest forms of flattery, is to spend your time and or money on a costume that is portraying this character. That's extremely flattering to the producers of that show, to show your love for what they do. Because none of us have to do this. Because we enjoy it.
Yeah, and that's the difference between your perspective, and it's my perspective as well, and all the other people is, well, not, I should not say all the other people, all the people who are judging everybody else for not exactly like the character, is that we're not going to go up to that person and say, hey, you shouldn't be wearing that. Superman is not Hispanic.
Right.
We wouldn't do that. Unfortunately, there are some people who do that, and that's where the issue lies. It's like, why is that a big deal? Let him dress up as Superman however he wants to. It's his costume, his money, his choice. Let him have fun with it.
And I think another perspective to look at here, or another perhaps side issue, is how people are being originally portrayed in media. There aren't very many people of color in anime.
Nope.
That is a factual thing. There's really not. American animation has far more diversity, so it makes it a little bit easier for people to cosplay that way and not feel ostracized. I feel like we should be encouraging diversity in media, of any kind of media, whether it's manga, whether it's anime, TV shows, you know, movies, documentaries, anything like this. We should be encouraging diversity so that people don't quite feel so ostracized, because it's supposed to be inclusive. I mean, how would you feel if nobody who looked like you was ever portrayed in media? You would feel like you were being left out, like you didn't have any importance. And I think that's wrong. So a lot of these people choose to cosplay their favorite characters not really caring what race they are. And that's good. We shouldn't necessarily care what race they are. Because it's, again, about having fun and portraying your favorite characters as a statement of love.
Now that you've said all that, Gamergate buttholes are going to come after us. Thanks, Amber.
Anyway.
See what I've been dealing with for the past couple of months? I say one little bad thing about video games, and then I get a flood of angry emails. Oh, darn. Oh, darn. But seriously, you'd think that diversity wouldn't be such an issue, but it really is. It's just let us have fun with our costumes. Let us dress up. It's not really big a deal. It's more important things going on in the world.
The only issue I have with cosplay regarding body type is that, you know, if you are wearing very tight clothing, you should probably consider proper undergarments.
Thank you. That's universal.
That is the only issue I have with any sort of body type, where if you are large, you know, either up top or down under, just make sure that you have supportive undergarments that do not flash yourself to the world. You know, I am a prude. I have publicly said this. I am somebody who does not necessarily have the same appreciation for revealing cosplays that other people might. And I say to each their own, if you enjoy it, by all means, please do. It's not something I personally enjoy. So I tend to avoid it, and I don't do it myself. I tend to make adjustments so that it's more modest. I don't like hanging out. But that's also because I work in a conservative industry where I shouldn't have pictures of myself doing any of that anywhere on the internet. So that is definitely a worry, but it is something that is also involved in body type. That's, you know, there's a lot of slut shaming, you know, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that in the cosplay community where people feel like, you know, you shouldn't be showing skin in a costume. Even though, if you look at a lot of anime, yeah, they draw their girls that way on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
There's something to be said for media analysis of why that is. But, you know, if people want to do it, I would say as long as it is legal and as long as it is tasteful. Because remember that the demographic of cosplay is skewing younger every year. We literally have small children, and we have pictures of this, ages 4, 5, and 6, getting into cosplay. Do you really want them seeing things that they probably shouldn't? No. No. Cosplay is a family affair. If you want to cosplay risque things in private and do private photo shoots, go right ahead. My recommendation, if you're going to a con, keep it covered.
But again, that's Amber's point of view. Some people don't agree with that, and that's okay. That's their call.
This is an open discussion. I mean, there is no regulating authority in cosplay.
I think that's the thing. Most people seem to forget, and I still see these questions all the time on freaking Facebook. You know, can I do this? Can I do that? Am I allowed to wear this? Am I allowed to do it this way? And it's like, who's telling you that you can't? There's no rules. There are only rules you need to follow are whatever the convention's clothing guidelines are. As long as you follow that, who's going to stop you? Who says you can't make your entire outfit out of cardboard? I mean, there are no rules. There's no overarching authority. So do what you want to do. It's not that big of a deal. I do second the undergarments thing. And as somebody, I know I'm kind of a tiny person. Even I wear undergarments like Spanx and whatnot when I'm wearing my superhero and supervillain outfits. Because I know it's going to make me look nice. It'll have a nice, clean, sleek line. Because I do have some meat on my hips and whatnot. And it's just thinking logically about the character. And it's like, I want it to look nice. And I want things to be kept in. I don't want stuff falling out all over the place. So it doesn't matter what your size is. Proper undergarments. Very important.
And we're not even necessarily saying, like, hide fat. Everybody has fat. That's,
oh, everybody
that's
does.
The long and short of it. Everybody has fat. Everybody has cellulite.
Yeah.
That's factual. And we're not saying that you should cover up who you are, you know. And I won't say trite things like everybody should feel comfortable in their skin because it sounds trite. But
because nobody feels comfortable fully in their skin. There's some people, but let's be honest, not everybody does.
So I think what I'm trying to say is, you know, as far as supportive undergarments go, you know, women should be wearing brassieres. That is my opinion. And it's because having support up top is physically healthy because, you know, they have weight. They weigh quite a bit for some people. And it can hurt your back. So wearing that helps redistribute weight. Not to mention that it covers your nipples, basically, and that is not something that is seen as acceptable right now in society. We have to play by public rules when we cosplay, if we're going to cosplay in public. So let's follow the rules. What rules there are, because that goes for any kind of clothing, not just cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, wear something supportive up top. Make sure you're covered down bottom. Gentlemen, if you are wearing tight clothing, please wear a dance belt. Please wear a dance belt. We can tell if you don't.
We really can tell if you don't. And we're not looking. We swear we're not looking, but it's hard not to see.
Yes, and I have seen some recent pictures of gentlemen in very, very tight pants where you can tell they are not.
Yeah.
May I remind you, conventions are family conventions. Conventions are family-friendly places. Think about what height the kids are. Just saying.
I like how we went from body issues to make sure you wear the proper underwear.
Well, no, because that is part of body types, because there are some girls who are very busty. That is a body type. I am busty. I would not dream of going to a convention without wearing supportive undergarments, because I know that I would go everywhere, and that's not appropriate. So, you know, my body type needs to be supported. And like you, I wear Spanx.
Yay, Spanx! They're awesome!
Yeah, because not only does it help shape for photography reasons, but it helps keep me warm. And a lot of convention spaces get cold. So it kind of helps me, you know, stay warm and not freeze to death in my costume. Always a good thing. So that's it is a part of body type in cosplay, is just to make sure that you're wearing appropriate things for your body type. Now, and ladies, there is something to be said for a well-sized brassiere that is actually sized to you.
Yeah, that's a whole other discussion entirely. Oh my goodness. Just trying to get proper sizing up there. Ooh, lordy. Different topic, different discussion.
Exactly. And speaking of clothing people, we have a bit of a challenge for our fellow podcast, Trade Paper Hacks.
That I brought upon them.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so first off, I want to thank everybody for responding to my post on our Facebook page. Alex from Trade Paper Hacks, if you guys haven't listened to the interview that he did with us at AllCon, go to their website and take a listen to it. It was really entertaining. So essentially, he asked us, you know, we could throw any question to him, and I just happened to say, you know, hey, if I made a costume for you, would you wear it? He said yes. So I was seeking some suggestions from you guys, and I was truly trying to go more towards comic book, because that's really where his background is. And I had a couple of suggestions, and I'm in the process of narrowing it down. I'm kind of debating back and forth between doing Spider-Gwen, because he's a very huge Spider-Man fan. He does love the Spider-Gwen. I think that would be very interesting given his body type. It would be a gender bend of Spider-Gwen. That's kind of weird. And then the other one was, it's called V-Neck Nightwing. It's the most recent iteration of Nightwing from the Teen Titans comic book series. I think that would look actually really nice on him. He's a Batman fan. He loves Batman. And he really wanted to do Batman, but I was like, you know what? I think you would actually fit Nightwing a little bit better. And he was like, you know what? I could probably do that. So I'm debating between the two. I don't know which one to go with. Whatever it is, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're dressing up our fellow podcasters. Yay!
We are getting other people who may not cosplay as much further into cosplay.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We're like the evangelists, the televangelists of cosplay.
We bring the good word to the people.
And the word is cosplay.
The word is totally cosplay and fabric and burning one's fingers with hot glue. That should
So
be fun, though.
if you guys have an opinion, please go ahead and post on our Facebook if you haven't already, which costume that you would like Val to make, and then stuff Alex into and take pictures.
I think the spider pig idea that I came up with was also entertaining. I don't know if I have the sanity to do that, but that would be funny.
See, what you do? You put him in Nightwing, and then you make a stuffed spider pig.
That's what I'm thinking. I've got a
That's
pig.
the easy way to solve that.
Spider pig, spider pig. Okay, I can't say any
That's
more than
what
that. I'll
a
probably get
spider
sued.
pig does.
But yeah, feel free to comment because we still have his photo up on our Facebook page. He's pretty easy to, I mean, he's right there. Can't miss him. Easy guy to hit. So feel free to give me more of your suggestions. And they can be as outrageous as you want them to be. As long as I can sew it, we're good to go.
And we were on episode 20 of their podcast. They interviewed us at AllCon.
Woo! Yeah, that was fun. I told you they're a good group of guys.
They are good peoples.
They're good peeps.
Indeed. And other cosplay in the media, Razzle Dazzle Cosplay Magazine. This is
I
actually a
have
new
to.
publication.
It is. Ta-da! Look at this.
That is a
Ta-da!
cosplayer. That is not a picture of Hugh Jackman. That is a cosplayer.
Yes. His name is Lone Star Mash. He's actually a very cool gentleman. I've met him a couple of times at Dragon Con and at West Coast conventions. But one of the reasons I wanted to bring this up is that this is their second issue. They have already sold out of these, so you can't buy this issue anymore. I was very fortunate enough to be asked to be interviewed for this. If you didn't see my name up there, I'm right there. Yay. But I wanted to bring this up mostly because if you look at the back page, it's got a variety of different cosplayers. We've got some cosplayers in there. We got women and men of different shapes, colors, sizes, you name it. And I thought it was really cool the way this thing is laid out, is it's really an in-depth review over every single cosplayer, why they cosplay, how they cosplay, and all this stuff in between. It's only about a couple of pages long, maybe about 15, 20 pages tops. And they do some photographer interviews as well. Actually, this particular issue had a remembrance, I don't know how you say this, in memoriam of Monty. So that was kind of sweet. So I'm sure that took up a couple of pages too. And
This
they
is
don't
Monty
really,
Ohm, for those who don't
Monty
know.
Ohm. Yeah, he was important to our cosplay community. And there's not really any advertising or anything. So it's handled by one person, and she basically takes care of the entire thing all by herself. So it's really cool. I just like the layout of it. It's easy to read. And again, my thing is that it's a variety of cosplayers. You're not getting three or four of the infamous people. You're getting so many different people, so much in between. That's really kind of cool. So check it out. It's called Razzle Dazzle, as I bonk my microphone many times in the process. Their next issue is going to be their April, and I think she's already taken pre-orders for it. So give it a look. No, it's only like $5. I mean, come on.
Cosplay is becoming a bigger thing now in media in general, in terms of magazines. I mean, even the Escapist magazine has a cosplay and comics podcast, which hasn't been updated in a little while. But they do still have episodes available on iTunes. And in fact, the other day I did look up cosplay podcasts on iTunes. There's actually a decent chunk of them. You can also find a listing of other of our fellow podcasts in our directory page on our website, which is cospod.org. There are other cosplay podcasts besides us that are still going. And I do list the ones that are current. So you guys can always click on those, take a look at those. One other new cosplay in the media thing that I wanted to mention is a new show called Cosplay Coach. And you can actually find this on Facebook. It's under Cosplay Coach, which is all one term. It's going to be hosted by Meredith Placco, who you guys formerly knew as Anesthetic. And it looks like it will be hosted by Popcorn Talk Network. So if you search on YouTube for Popcorn Talk Network, you'll see a listing for their show. It looks like it doesn't debut until April 8th. But what they do is that they take famous costumes in film and popular media, so television shows like Game of Thrones, and then they'll take those costumes and break them down and show you how to recreate them. So if you have a particular favorite costume, like say Iron Man, they would bring in a panel to go ahead and break down that costume and then reverse engineer it. How the heck do you make that sort of thing? It looks like they'll have a really good panel of guests because they've got access to industry professionals, so those who actually work on these movies. And they'll also be calling on super fans. So if you're a super fan, you know, they may actually have you on the show. So again, it's called Cosplay Coach. April 8th is when it starts. YouTube.com/PopcornTalkNetwork.
So and before I forget, yes, yeah, that one looks like it's going to be really fun. I know that they've recently been promoting it more and more often. Mm-hmm. But yeah, before I forget, what I would also recommend that you do, because they were so kind to do this for me, when you sign up for Razzle Dazzle and you just buy them one issue at a time, in the comments section, mention that you were sent there by Cospod. You probably get some free stickers like I did. Like, I got a couple of them from Iron Man. That made me happy, as well as Thor. Lots of Thor stickers. That made me super happy, too.
You'll get some awesome stuff.
I know. There's like a ton of My Little Pony stickers in here. There's almost a full sheet. I think I'm going to be handing those out to random people because I'm not an MLP person. But hey, mention Cospod. You get extra free stuff in there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So outside of that, I believe we now have a lovely tutorial to present.
Hey Potters, I'm here to show you how to do pleats. There are three pleats that are most commonly used in cosplays. There's box, inverted, and knife. When you do a box pleat, it's what you most likely see on cheerleader skirts. So a box pleat is where you take your fabric and you fold it over on this side, and you fold it over this side, and then for the second pleat, you'd fold it here, fabric's scrunched, and you'd fold it again, maybe, possibly, who knows. Except your pleats will be a lot neater than mine. And then you'd continue that all the way down your skirt. And box pleats are what are most commonly found on skirts for cheerleaders. And you can find them in the front of like sailor scout uniforms. Or at least that's what I did. An inverted pleat is basically a box pleat reversed, except they usually only come in one and they're on the back pencil skirts. So how you would do that, and I'm going to do it up here so you can see it, is you would take, pin, mark a spot, fold it, and then to get a V shape. Last pleat I mentioned is a knife pleat, and they are the most common pleat that you're going to find, and they're super simple to make, and you can use a butter knife to help you get it right, but you're just going to fold it again. And fold it again. There you have. And you go all the way down just like that. All of these pleats that I've mentioned, along with a wider array of pleats that you can use for other ideas, can be found if you just Google the phrase different types of pleats. And it's the real simple website that I found most of these on. There's ones such as crystal and accordion, but if you go there you can see examples of them and what they're generally used for. This is the skirt that I am making, and I have already sewn two pieces together and hemmed in my bottom, and it may be hard to see, but I have pinned my pleats in place. I'm going to move my camera so it's going to be easier for you guys to see what I'm doing. This is the skirt that I am working on, and it is a knife pleated skirt. And I have pinned my pleats into place on both sides. And there's a pin. Before you start ironing, you want to make sure that your iron is on a setting that is appropriate for your fabric. Because if you're using a satin, it's more likely to melt under high heat, so you want to make sure that that iron is set to a lower setting or a setting that is specifically for a polyester blend of some sort. And we are going to press down our pleat. And if you don't have an ironing board, it's a good idea to put a towel down underneath. I have a towel down under mine, although you can't see it. I just have a wooden desk. And since I live at an apartment, I am technically renting this desk, and I do not want to ruin it. Thus, the towel. And when you unpin your pleat, you might have to mess with it and readjust it so it lies the way that you had originally intended. And this is my pleat that is on a seam, so I'm going to really make sure that my pleat on this one is hiding that seam because I want it to be hidden. If you wish to have your seam visible, that is your choice. Another thing some people will do is they will, if they're afraid that they're going to burn their fabric, they'll either put a small towel or a piece of like white paper underneath their iron and then go in small circles over that. And if you have to go over the pleats a few times, that's fine. You want these to be really sharp. If you're making a skirt like I am, then you're going to take the top of your pleat and you're going to put more of the fabric underneath it. And it's just the top only, and that is to narrow it up around the waist, and then the bottom will still be flared. If you're just doing a pleat on, say, a tuxedo shirt or a bag or just something to just give it a little more style, you don't have to do that. You can just go ahead and start tacking them down. And you're going to just do that. You're just going to sew a straight stitch. I don't have my sewing machine with me at the moment. It is unavailable to me at this time, so I've just been hand sewing a normal stitch just right across my top. And I believe that Amber and Val have already done a tutorial on hand sewing. Once the pleats are done, then all you have to do is create the band that you want and sew the rest of it together. And that's everything you gotta do. I can't really think of anything else, so have fun with your pleats, and back to Amber and Belle.
Hopefully you guys enjoyed that.
Big thank you to our correspondents. I know, right? Thank you to our correspondents for helping us give more content. You're going to see more of them shortly. We're going to be bringing them back in April, so we'll have fun discussion times. One of them will be reviewing a convention for us as well, so yay!
If you guys have tutorials that you would like us to feature on the show, we are always happy to do that. If you find a particularly good tutorial, then we can always, you know, definitely point you guys toward it. If you haven't already seen it, just make sure that you send us a link to it, and that way we can make sure that we give them credit and or ask them if it's okay if we go ahead and actually feature it in the show itself as opposed to just linking to it, because we've done that before with other tutorials.
Mm-hmm.
No, we are all about sharing what other awesome work other cosplayers do, not just in pictures, but in tutorials, in interviews, in blog posts, all that good stuff. Share the wealth. Spread the rainbow.
Lots of rainbow talk today.
Skittles. Tasting the rainbow.
Skittles. As long as you're not tripping on it, we're good.
No, I don't need any help tripping.
But
I
I'm
do that just
bunch.
fine on my own.
And that's when I
Ah.
should have had the rim shot ready to go, but I didn't. I
Life
fail.
is fun.
I really, what I need to do for this show, and I need to finally get off my lazy button and just make it, is have a soundboard ready to go. And have it pre-programmed in, get a macros on my keyboard, so that way I can just push buttons, I'll know exactly where it is, and we're prepped all the time.
Push button, get macro.
Exactly.
We need to find a soundboard app, guys, for the show. If you have any recommendations, let us know.
On
Man, oh man.
that
I'm so ready. I keep seeing more and more people working with Warbler now. And it's not because it's more affordable. It's still the same price as it's been for the last several years. In fact, it went up just a bit since December because production costs increased. But man, I am so eager to start on Pyrra, even though I can't currently. But I so want to work with it.
Sure.
It's
And she's
not.
got the jumbo sheet too, so she's got a lot that she can play with.
It's not a god material, but it would certainly make armoring a heck of a lot easier. At least for specifically for things like this. And I would like to experiment a little with it as far as prop making goes, because I think that there are so many people who look at prop making and armoring and just go, "Ugh, it looks complicated." It can be. It
It can be.
genuinely can be. But what I would like to do kind of is my thing for the cosplay community, because I would like to have a thing, I would like to have an impact on the community at large, is I would like to revolutionize methods for making it easier and more comfortable to both make these things, wear these things, and store these things. Which is why you guys have seen me doing a lot with compartmentalized props, with props you can take apart and store. Not just for staves and weapons, but I'm actually working on a folding bow, like bow, a folding bow tutorial so you can fold bows and take them with you to cons. And that way you don't have to worry about them taking up so much space in your car, because for anybody who's ever driven to a convention as a cosplayer, you know how well Tetrising goes.
Tetris is awesome. I'm so glad I played that game as a kid. It's coming in handy.
Some of us are better at it than others.
Oh yeah, there are some people who are terrible at it. I admit, I have moments where I'm just crappy at it, but you do what you can.
And there's also, yesterday was Arduino Day at SparkFun, where they had a whole bunch of their Arduino stuff on sale. I've noticed that there's a lot more shops that are catering to hobbyists, not just cosplayers, but hobbyists in general, to where they're making kits. You can now get a kit to learn how to Arduino, to learn how to work with Raspberry Pi, with Edison, with Linux. How to build circuits, how to make things make noise and light up. Companies are putting together EL wire kits so you don't have to worry about doing the attachments on your own.
Woot woot, with the Neutron movie being in production, I am okay with this.
And with the new Avengers film coming up, with the new, I can't, Hulkbuster, the new Hulkbuster suit. There will be even more possibilities for cosplay. I mean, season 3 of Ruby is going to be coming out soon. The next OVA of Magi is coming out soon. I mean, there are so many new shows that are coming out that are using all these new effects that it's even more accessible to people as cosplayers than it was before. A lot of these things are no longer mysteries now that there are tutorial vids and some pretty darn good documentation out there now. It's just a matter of breaking it down for the average person and going, okay, it's just like learning the alphabet or learning how to write or anything else. You got to break it down to its very basics and then build up. These things aren't hard. It just takes learning like anything else. So I applaud this. There's going to be a lot more sales too. We're recording this on the 29th. Probably next weekend, there's going to be a lot of sales at your favorite places where you get cosplay supplies because next weekend is Easter.
Easter! I
So
get to
check out
work.
your local fabric shops, check out your local electronic shops, check out your local suppliers for casting and molding. I mean, there's quite a few people who run sales on Easter. And you know, with cons coming up, saving money, always a good thing.
Very much so, yes.
I got a belated birthday gift with a little bit of money in it. It's like, man, what kind of awesome stuff can I spend this on?
Of course, of course.
What kind of awesome cosplay stuff can I spend this on? I'm waiting for to see if Arda is going to have a sale because I need to pick up my two ponytail clips from Arda. Big thanks to Danielle for that because I actually won a contest, and that was very, very nifty. And then I have my belated birthday gift from my mom, and then I have my birthday gift from Val because I have to go to fabric.com whenever they have their sale so I can get more fabric from them. But
Yay!
I'm waiting for sales so I can acquire my supplies.
It'll
And
happen.
even now, as you know, we're closing out this episode. As I sit here and daydream about my apartment, which is going to be smaller than this house by about half, I'm sitting here going, how am I going to make my crafting station? Because that's apparently the most important thing in the entire apartment, is how the heck am I going to craft? It's not my bedroom, it's not my office, it's not my kitchen, how I'm going to eat, it's how am I going to make stuff.
Duh. That's
I'm even
the
sitting
most
there.
important part.
I'm even sitting there because I've already drawn up plans in my head for how to make a magnetic frame for windows so that I can block off my patio and make it a sunroom for crafting outdoors. So that I can just build a plywood frame, stick a couple of old windows in it, and then put magnets on it because I don't think they're going to allow me to drill into the patio structure. So that I can just use
Right.
high temp hot glue, put some washers on every corner since high temp won't melt in the summer, but I can just peel it off when I'm done. And I can just take the whole frame and just go click. That's it. Man. I should have been a DIYer. I really should have.
Yeah, you missed your calling. That's okay.
I did. It's okay. I'm working my way up in the IT world to where I'm going to get paid a little bit more money each time. And then I can actually start buying supplies, not just for myself, but so I can film tutorials and then so I can get these really cool gadgets. They've actually worked on improving the 3D printer so that it doesn't use plastic and just build up. They've made it to where they can take a bath of resin and some special plastics that are oxygen permeable. And it literally pulls it whole out of the bath by adjusting the amount of oxygen in the chamber. So
Interesting.
that if there's oxygen in it, it doesn't cure. If they pull the oxygen out, it cures. And they can do that at a molecular level. There's some really cool videos. Oh, I should post this on the site. They literally pull an Eiffel Tower out of a bath of resin, and the tower is taller than the width of the bath. So the bath is like this
Wow.
big, the tower is like this big. It's like, how is that physically possible that you pull that out of a bath that size? It's really cool. Oh, it's so cool. I love science. I really do love science. I love what we're doing with
Science is
science.
awesome.
It's
Science is
like, man, if
awesome.
I get enough money, I need one of those. Then I can share it with my friends and everybody else who wants to cosplay.
Yay, sharing.
One other quick bit of news that I wanted to mention that just came to mind, speaking of making things, the Cosplay Makerspace in Washington, D.C. did make its goal. They did make their Kickstarter.
Oh, good.
So they will have a makerspace out there in D.C. That's kind of been one of my life goals, that I would love to be able to give something like that back to the cosplay community, but they've already done it, so it's off my bucket list. I hope you guys enjoy it. Sadly, not in DC. I can't enjoy it, but hopefully those that are out there get good use out of it. It's very cool that they met their Kickstarting goal.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Anything else?
I'm good if you're good. We got some stuffs to do, ladies.
Indeed. We will call a close to this episode 86 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Of course, if you have any comments, questions, concerns, things that you would like us to feature on the show, or if you have suggestions on who we should interview, what we should show for tutorials, anything else, and we have actually recently gotten some interview suggestions, so thank you for those. Please go ahead, send us an email, get us on social media. You can find all of our information on our website, which is cospod.org. You can, of course, find listings of our fellow podcasters there, as well as fellow cosplayers. The website will also shortly have a resources page where you guys can find out where to buy your favorite stuff. And last but not least, of course, as always, please rate and review us on iTunes. That helps us gain visibility so that we show up higher on the popular podcast chart. That really does help us get viewership. I would also like to say welcome to our new viewers internationally. Once again, we have got some phenomenal viewership all around the world. It is very, very cool and very flattering to see this. Please keep up the great work, guys. Please continue sharing the show. We really do love you guys. So thank you so much for that. It's very flattering. But with that said, we will see you guys on the flip side. Please go ahead and stick with us for episode 87. See you guys next time. Bye.